God bless you, Varuni. Today is February 17th, 2010, from New Delhi, India. We are continuing this study of your acts with God now. It is your acts. You decide to walk with God, as it is written in Ephesians 2:10. For you are God's workmanship, masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. And for what reason? Unto good works, plural, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. God wants you to walk in them. This is the will of God, that each one of us who is endued with power from on high, the promise of the Father to walk in this good works, which God has planned for you. See, God has great plan for you. It is written. It is revealed in His Word so that we can begin to desire to do that. See, wonderful, God has revealed it to us, this great knowledge that you are God's wonderful masterpiece. He didn't create you with incompleteness. He didn't create you so that you don't have the ability to do it. You are completely complete. You are ready to go, ready to move from the day one. Not after so many days. You are ready to go. Your ability is God's ability. That we don't think that it is by our own sufficiency with which we live this life, this new life, but we have the sufficiency which is of God. God's sufficiency and ability is given to us that we can, you can do all things. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. See, God has given us this great information, knowledge, so that we can think, we can walk according to it. So some points from the previous segments that I want to get into further, which is in Acts 13:1, now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And so, five names here. These are certain prophets and teachers. The name Barnabas appears first, and Saul appears last. Barnabas was the leader here. He moved from Jerusalem. Initially he was working, living for God, serving in the area of Jerusalem. And the news of certain Jewish believers who traveled to Antioch. These are Jewish believers from Cyprus and Cyrene. They spoke to the Gentiles. They preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And it is interesting that till then, no Jewish believers were preaching the good news to the Gentiles. In 38 AD, which is 9 years after the day of Pentecost, Peter went to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius was saved. And in 45 AD, which is 16 years after the day of Pentecost, and 5 years after Cornelius got saved, Barnabas was sent to Antioch of Syria as this news of Jewish believers from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and preached the gospel, and there was great response, as it is written in Acts 11:20 and 21. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And this Grecians are Greeks, Gentiles. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So Barnabas was sent to Antioch, and then he builds up, strengthened these believers, the Gentile believers, in Antioch, and then he goes over to Tarsus to bring Saul there. So Barnabas was the main leader out there. He decided to stay there. God worked in his heart that Barnabas didn't go back to Jerusalem after that. And he decided to work with the Gentile believers and disciples, leaders, and then also to work with Saul. So, 1 year time, 1 year, he worked with Saul and also with the leadership, the believers of Antioch, the Gentile believers. Therefore, right now, right then, at this time, the order of the names that appear here, Barnabas comes first, and Saul. Saul's still learning. Saul is humble, and yet he's the leader. He is one of the five key leaders, the teachers, the prophets. So it is interesting to see this, that Acts chapter 13:1 has the names like this. And another point, and this is a very important point, is that it is very, very important that we are to be connected to the right leader. Saul got connected to the right leader and was able to receive the necessary training, teaching from Barnabas, which enabled Saul to become productive. Later on we will see that Barnabas and Saul, they were very, very productive. Whereas Saul, after he was saved, wasn't productive. He wasn't productive for about 6 years plus. Wherever he went, and he had a great zeal, great enthusiasm, he was really fired up for God, yet he didn't get results, fruits. Saul learns great, wonderful truth from Barnabas, and his service in the body of Christ changed. Also, something to note is that Saul spent 1 year with the Gentile church, not with the Jewish believers' church. The location where Saul learned many, many things, practically as well, was among the Gentiles, the believers of the Gentiles. Saul spent time after he was saved in Arabia, and God showed him many, many things. God revealed to Saul many, many things about this revelation of the mystery. Now, this 1 year in Antioch with the Gentile church definitely gelled many things that God has shown him, that truly the Gentiles is equal, fellow heir, joint heir, one body. There's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. He's seeing them, seeing the Gentile brothers and sisters, how they believe God, how they are able to walk with God, how they had the connection with God, and they were able to operate the power of God. He is experientially noting these things. And the truth regarding the mystery which is revealed to him is gelling this particular time. And he was prepared to go to the areas of the Gentiles later on. So this particular time, by God's grace, again, it is wonderful grace of God. 6 years he spent time earlier, and he did it his way. He didn't get results. And after 6 years, he was tired of the unfruitful works. And perhaps he was ready to hear, willing to hear. Then God sent Barnabas to Saul. And Barnabas brings Saul to the right place. This is also by God's grace. And it was the Church of the Gentiles in Antioch, where Saul could really learn and practice the great truth and reality God shown him. And yes, I mentioned about the importance of being connected to the right leader, right teacher. And the right teacher will connect you to God. He will walk with God. He gives you the words from God and encourage you to be connected to God, encourage you that you can also do the works of God. Now, another point. The book of Acts shows that when we move with God to be led by the Spirit of God, much fruit abounds. Increase and growth is the result of it. For Saul, this was not happening for 6 years plus, until he was finally ready to submit to God's way. Then Barnabas, who was the right teacher to Saul, was sent by God. As Saul submitted to God's way, meekness and humility, he was ready to move on with the calling of God. Separately, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Next point. Acts 14:3 says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. We remember of the verse in one of the Gospels that these disciples, apostles, preached the gospel. They moved with God, and the Lord confirming their words with signs following. So when we move with God, we look only to God and do His will and preach His word, His good news, then God grants signs and wonders to be done by their hands, our hands. So signs, wonders, and miracles will follow. Them that believe God, trust God, and to walk with Him. And it will happen by God's grace. It's not by our works. This is all by Him. It's not our works. It's not our great efforts. It's not by our great ability to plan and to execute programs. It is by God's grace, by us going to the Almighty God, the Most High God. And it is also the desire. Desire also comes from Him. It is God who works in us. You have God's Spirit, and it is God that works in you and gives you the desire of your heart. So, everything, we give thanks to God. The glory goes to God because it's not of ourselves. Therefore, this walk is really wonderful. Really, thanks be to God. God is so good, so wonderful. And He says, cast all your cares to Him. He's not saying that take all the cares upon your shoulders, all the burdens on your shoulders, day-to-day cares of this life. But God is asking us to, even in this walk, to cast all the burdens, cares, problems to Him, because He cares for us. He's speaking to us, don't worry about anything, because I am with you. I am for you. Therefore, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving, because He's able to do, able to answer your prayers. The moment you have given those requests, desires of your heart, or challenges, the problems, into God's hand, He's saying that it's done. I have taken care. He is very powerful, able God. Unto Him who is able to do, right? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And therefore, to God be the glory. Everything is of God. So wonderful. This, the words of grace. Here, we just read that one verse. A long time. This is Acts 14:3. Long time, therefore, about they speaking boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony unto the word of His grace. Word of His favor. He does it for us. He gives favor to us. He is not saying that now on you work and work as if there's no God, nobody to depend upon. In fact, He has brought us, connected us to Him, the fountain of living water, reconciled us so that He can take care of us. The mighty God who created the heavens and earth to take care of you from morning till night, and when you're sleeping, 24 hours and 7 days, year, month after month, years after years. This is word of His grace. Wonderful things. This is not a drag, the hard life. He has delivered us from this hard life, difficult life, where you struggle by yourself to this grace, the favor of God. Grace be to you. My favor be to you. So you can have peace. You can rest. Give all your requests, all your problems, all the burdens of your heart to Him. We want to practice this habitually. Habitually. This is our benefit. This is one of the greatest benefits. that we can give all our burdens, all our problems, all our challenges to our loving Father who cares for us. And I'm sure that Paul, Barnabas, speaking boldly in the Lord, the Spirit of God gave that boldness. And with His strength, they were able to speak. He gave the utterance, the wonderful words of encouragement, words of wisdom, words of comfort. And God gave testimony. See, God gave testimony unto the word of His favor, God's favor. And He Himself granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. This is not hard work to be His witnesses unto the uttermost parts of this world is not hard works. It's by grace. By Him helping us. Helping us. God helps us in this life. And when we do His good works, which He has before ordained that we should walk in them. You are very, very special. Do you know that? You are very, very special. God so loved that He has called you to Himself, His family, and He has given you meaning and purpose to you. And we have plan. And it is God's plan, not my plan. It's God's wonderful plan. And He says, now you make your decision to walk in it. Walk in it. Live. Now, in 14:6, okay, I'll read from 14:5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews when they were in Iconium, of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies round about. So they not only went to Lystra, Derbe, cities, but also unto the region that lies round about. And what they did? They preached the gospel, good news. They moved with God. It's not that they moved with their own strength. See, God's grace was there, right there with them. God opened the door. Wherever they went, because they were moving with God, the door of utterance was opened up. And many were saved. Many, many people were saved. They were hitting jackpots. They're winning the lottery. Everywhere, every time. Because they were moving with God. So, we need to examine ourselves. This Acts, praxis shows us that when we are walking in the works that God has before ordained, then there's going to be increase, growth, and mighty growth of God's Word. Many are going to be saved through you. Therefore we examine. Because you are as He is, as Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. Therefore, this, the growth, increase, is the obvious result, obvious fruit, when a Christ walks upon this earth in harmony with God, in God's will, according to God's direction. Is there going to be unfruitfulness? No growth? No, it cannot be. It cannot be. The Spirit of Christ dwell in you, that you are able to be led by the Spirit of God. And when we do that, when we walk in that, then you have to be fruitful. Sons and daughters of God have to be fruitful. Satan, throwing fiery darts, deviate our focus from God and get us focused on something else. Or his ideas or thoughts that we are not good enough. We cannot do. Wrong doctrine, wrong teaching. The wind of doctrine, to and fro. We want to come out from that and become steadfast, unmovable, focused on the sound doctrine. The word of his favor, grace be to you, to be connected to that mighty God who loves us, who cares for us. Then we will abound in the works of God. And we are going to be rewarded. And we are going to see that reward right away. Right away. Remember in Psalms 148, okay, we'll just keep our hand in this Book of Acts section and then go to Psalm 147, verse 15. Psalm 147, 15. He, God, Jehovah, sends forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. God says that his word runs very swiftly. How does it run very swiftly? Through you. God's word runs swiftly through you, with you. That's the norm. Remember the day of Pentecost? About 3,000 souls were saved. That was the first day of the church. God didn't record it such a way or did it such a way that a month after the day of Pentecost, the people started to get saved. His record shows, and his witness, in it is written, shows us that from the day one of the church, the birth of this new creation, the Word of God began to run swiftly. About 3,000 souls. And it is by God's grace it happened. And then we follow it, and it moved very swiftly. Acts chapter 3, about 5,000 souls get saved. And so forth. And also says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Word of God runs very swiftly. That's the norm. And we can get to that. We can become subject like soul became subject to God's way, connected to the right teacher, Barnabas. And from that time onward, he was hitting jackpot after jackpot. The Word of God ran very swiftly. Next point. So in Acts 14:20, this is another point. Acts 14:20 says, yes, Saul was stoned, and supposing he had been dead. And verse 20, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, and so forth. So it says, the disciples, so they already had leaders, Barnabas and Paul, Paul and Barnabas. John Mark, he left way before this, and relatively short time starting their itinerary, missionary itinerary from Antioch of Pisidia. Now by this time could be a year, 2 years passed. Some commentary says that this entire itinerary, the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas, took 4 years. Some says three, some say two. So 2 to 4 years time. And around here could be 2 years. So they had disciples, leadership already. And some of the leaders, disciples from Antioch might have joined this itinerary. They said, Paul and Barnabas, we would like to travel with you. And they said, fine, come on over. And then they traveled. They got practical training, like Jesus Christ worked with his 12 disciples. He took them along while he lived his life and did his ministry. That was a great time of receiving practical training. And these disciples, it says, laborers, disciples, they stood round about Paul, minister healing, and Paul rose up. So it's wonderful to see that they were practicing, learning, because later on Paul and Barnabas, they're going to go back to where they started out their journey, Antioch of Syria. So these guys were getting training. This is another wonderful point. And they went to Derbe. It says Derbe. Now, Derbe to Tarsus, where Paul was born and grew up, were not far away. Through the mountain pass, they could have gone to Tarsus. However, they did not proceed to Tarsus, but went back to the place where they preached the gospel. Derbe to Tarsus is about 130 miles. It says in Acts 14:21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. In Greek, had taught many is had made many disciples. This is a note. According to five senses, Paul could have thought, well, we have come so far, and let's go to my hometown where I was born and preach to my families and relatives and friends out there this wonderful news of God, good news. It was not far away. In those days, traveling was challenging, and they have already come that much far. then they could have easily said, or Paul could have easily said, let's go to Tarsus. But this shows that he didn't go that side, go to hometown, but went back in order of where, how they came over to Derbe. And definitely, Paul, Barnabas, they were listening to God. They did what God wanted them to do. And I mentioned earlier that in relatively short time, there were disciples. In Acts 14:21 here, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And this is, had made many disciples. And verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, the disciples, to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So, God working in them strengthened the leaders and also set the overseers at each location, different places that they have visited. And then they left. And you know, the disciples are, in John 8:31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Those who continue in his word, in God's word, continue. It doesn't mean that just retain it in your mind, but to do it. To continue is to have that knowledge and to do it. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So disciples are these individuals who continue faithful. They not only hear the word, hear the truth, but they do the truth. So there were many laborers, many disciples God had given to them, to the place where God wanted them to go. So what do we need to do? What do we watch for? It is, five senses wise, easy to move into or to teach where you can see believers or people. It is always easy to think, okay, I'm going to witness to my friend or so-and-so or what, something that you can see. But the result comes from the instruction from God, the wisdom from God. God tells us that we are to pray to God for the door of utterance. He is asking us to pray, beseech the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers that we don't see initially. The door of utterance we don't see initially. We walk by the Spirit of God, God's way, then we are entering into the area that we cannot see at the beginning. Just like to speaking in tongues, before you ever we spoke in tongues, we cannot see it before. But by doing what God says, and we began to speak, then it became visible. Two ways to move forward. One is to move forward by sight, seeing, which appears to be easy. There are believers, so I teach these believers, and then I will make them strong. Or, yes, there are believers, but you will go to God, as God says, and pray to God, desire to God, that He would open door of utterance. He would open the area. He would give me that place where God wants me to preach. Pray, beseech the Lord of the harvest that He would send me the laborers. Right now I don't see them. But if I do that, if I begin, I need to begin to do it God's way. Then He is able to send that quality labor, like Andrew to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't win Andrew, as we can read it, the record in Gospel John chapter 1. Jesus Christ, our Lord, didn't win Andrew. Andrew was sent to Jesus Christ. Easy, it was easy. The same way, but before Jesus meeting Andrew, he didn't know. He could have thought, well, I'm in the area of John the Baptist. And he has a lot of disciples. Those who are interested about God, that's why they are disciples of John. So perhaps there are already such kind of people, disciples, candidates for my labors. Why don't I go and sit with these guys? And then I'm going to start talking to them. See, something you can see and start think, well, let's do it that way. But he didn't do that. Jesus, as Acts chapter 1:1 says, Jesus began both to do and teach. He did those things which He taught. And He taught His disciples, the leaders, to pray, to beseech the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. And He received that result. God ekbaloed Andrew, the first person. Jesus didn't know about this guy. He wasn't planning to meet Andrew or somebody that particular day. But he had, as he taught, he had already practiced, prayed, besought the Lord of the harvest that He would send out laborers. And then he received that result. One quality labor. And through that quality labor, Andrew, Peter shows up. James and John, the fishing partner. Philip, and so forth. More quality labors. So it is significant that God has given that record for us. The first person, the labor, first labor, how that labor showed up, how he met our Lord Jesus Christ is significant. And we need to take God's wisdom, not my wisdom, but God's wisdom, God's way. That is the most successful way. And those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, will take it and do it. And you are going to have result. The Word of God runs very, very swiftly through you. So many, many wonderful truths, wonderful things God is showing in this Acts praxis. to do, began to do and teach. And also another wonderful thing, here in Acts 14:26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So here it says they fulfilled it. God says this first missionary journey, they fulfilled it. They completed it. They didn't continue further. Once they reached Perga, they said, well, you know, we are hitting well. Our average is 100%. Let's continue moving on to the next location because we are doing well, and decided to move forward further according to their five senses. They could have done that. But they are moving with God. They are being led by the Spirit of God. They knew at this time at Perga, after preached in the Word of God in Perga also, that they knew the works. They had fulfilled it. Verse 27, the next verse says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, this was returned to Antioch of Syria, they, Paul and Barnabas, rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had. God had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. See, that's their mind, right? Mentality. They knew who had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That God had opened. That's what it is. Very simple. God would open you the door of faith so that many get saved. Many that God would send to you. That God would do that. It's by God's grace. Precious on Him, not on us. Yes, we need to have that desire. And therefore we pray to God. God, open me the door of faith. God, send me labors. See, that's us towards God. God needs us, that free will from our heart, the desire from our heart. And when we have that, secondly, and also we are willing to do it God's way, according to God's direction, then this truth shows us that your average is going to be 100%. This is not fairy tale. God has not given to us this wonderful information, the knowledge, the truth, so that we strike out every time we go at bat, every time we go and do things, then we miss. He gave us this information so that you and I can have fruit, much fruit. And it is not a difficult way, very simple way. Do I believe this? And do I desire to see mighty growth because we are in Christ's stead. And you are in Christ's stead. And here, also interesting, 14:28, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Paul and Barnabas didn't say, well, you know, we had a great, fruitful itinerary. I mean, much, great fruit, great growth. God has given us great, wonderful, many labors. Let's move on for the next one, next itinerary. No, they didn't. Where they needed to stay, remain, they remained. They move with God. See, that's very important. They're still walking by the Spirit. They're listening to God. Therefore, at this time, they abode long time with the disciples, the leaders. And the next time they move out from Antioch, Syria, that was 51 A.D. So, we see that 46 A.D. to 51 A.D., 46 A.D. is when God separated Barnabas and Saul for the work that He has called them to do. So, 46 to 51, 5 years. So, this 5 years time period we know, some commentary says that they abode there for 2 years. Some say 1 year. If it is 2 years, then their missionary journey, first one, was about 3 years. Some say it's just 1 year, then 4 years is the missionary journey. But one thing I know, we know, is that they abode long time with the disciples. That's what they did, as God show them to do. And that's what we do. Today we reviewed some of the points which are important for us so that you have your own practice with God. Your acts, your wonderful works, your good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. And it is by God's wonderful grace. It's not of your works, lest any man should boast. It is going to be all from God. And so that we can say thank you, and the glory to go to God.